Blog Talk Radio.
Right, it's March 24th, 2024, and Scott's with me. And Scott, my gentleman that worked for Ford somewhere, I don't know where, but he sent two little videos, and it's about Ford and Ford trucks, and I don't know anything. You might have heard something. I don't know. I have no idea, but I'll play. I don't know. I'll just play it, and you guys will understand.
Well, here's an interesting one. 2024 Ford Ranger production increased, but they didn't sell a single one last month. You figure that one out, right? Well, they made more of them, but they didn't sell any of them. Are they that unpopular? The problem obviously is Ford's got production problems, and they've got them sitting somewhere. They're going to have to recheck the production because Ford has had so many recalls. They've led the United States in recalls for the last 3 years in a row, and the way they're going in 2024 so far, they'll probably lead it again. So they make them, but then they got to let them sit around because they got to recheck them to see, gee, what did we screw up on this one? You know, are the wheels going to fall off? Are the axle going to fall off? Is the tailgate going to open while you're driving down? Ford, of course, isn't talking about it. They're not saying anything about it. So that shows, obviously, there's some kind of a screw-up on Ford's behalf. Because if it was anything that was logical and didn't make them look like fools, they'd tell you. Now, in 1 month, Ford built 2,644 2024 Ford Rangers. But they didn't sell any of them. Well, hey, let me tell you something. They're not just going to make them and not sell them unless they got a serious problem. Why aren't these 2024 models on the lot? Well, like I said, obviously they have problems. Normally, the next year's models are sold, sometimes as early as July or August, right? You don't wait till January of 2024 to start selling 2024s, right? They're sold months before. They're always pushing, here's a new one, here's a new one. Well, the fact that it's now March, and then in February, they didn't sell a single Ford Ranger, and they made all of those. I'm telling you, they got production problems up the wazoo. And they're crapping in their pants about, gee, we better double check to make sure these things aren't going to fall apart when you buy them. You know, it's bad enough that they have problems as they age, but right off the get-go, they're brand new trucks, and they're so worried that they got problems, they're not even selling them to the public. And of course, Ford isn't going to comment on any of this stuff. They want to try to hide it off from the public, but the problem is somebody got these figures out that they made 2,000 something of them. They didn't sell a single one. So they're just sitting there doing God knows what with them, or waiting to fix something. Who knows?
Okay, Leo, there's one, because he's just going over and over and over and over. Okay, here's one. Here's another one. This was Ford 150s, and hold your thoughts, Scott.
Well, I just watched an interesting video. It showed masses of F-150 pickups at a Michigan Speedway. There's the picture there. Turns out they've been storing a whole bunch of them there, and the locals are like, whoa, we haven't seen this before. Now, hundreds, if not thousands, of F-150 and F-150 Lightning pickups were stashed at Ford's Dearborn test track. Now, Ford, of course, doesn't want to talk much about it, and they're kind of insinuating, well, we're doing quality control tests of these blah, 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 right? Isn't that what you do in the factory? You build them right and test them before they go out of the factory, right? Well, Ford has had so many problems since they've led the nation the last 3 years in a row, and it looks like they're going to lead them in 2024, too, with most recalled vehicles, that I guess their solution is build them, then stick them in a field somewhere, and then, oh, we'll get some quality control guys to look at them. What an asinine way to make and sell vehicles. Now, understand one thing. It's not like they're selling them cheap. Guy came over here the other day, and he had bought a used Dodge Ram with like 65,000 miles on it for 25 grand. I was checking out, and I said, I'm not really a fan of Rams. Why'd you buy a Ram? He said, well, you know, yesterday I went to the Ford dealer. I wanted to get a loaded new F-150. They wanted 81,000, so I thought, I'll get a used Ram that's loaded for a lot less. And he did. I checked it out. It was okay shape. I'm not a fan of Ram, but I checked it out. There wasn't anything wrong with it yet, right? How they think people are going to be paying 81 grand for vehicles that aren't even built that well is beyond me. Now, seeing this was a real surprise to the local residents. What are all those trucks doing there? Yeah. That reminds me of my neighbor here does a lot of bass fishing. He was in a tournament and he went up to Michigan.
All right, you're talking about fishing and whatever. He keeps going on about it. Leo, I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know what they're doing there either. They could be waiting for a chip. I don't know. Scott, have you heard anything?
I didn't hear about them putting things, trucks over at Michigan International Speedway. I think it was a quality issue, I believe.
Okay.
I think I posted that maybe a couple of weeks ago. See if I can find that.
And don't think General Motors don't do the same thing, folks.
They
can fill fields full of Chevys.
Well, remember we had them parked up along I-75 and over by the horse track there.
Yeah.
That was a chip issue. Chip issue.
I don't know what it was when... over there off of Bristol Road, they just were stacked and packed back there.
Yeah, that and then down at the airport, them was all chips.
Yeah.
Chip issues at the time.
No, this was before the chips. This is a few years before the chips. This is before I retired. I can't remember. It's quite a few years ago. I can't remember what the problem was. Matter of fact, I worked some Saturdays and Sundays, but I don't remember why because I worked a lot of Saturdays and Sundays out back.
Yeah, that could be a part shortage.
No, it wasn't a part shortage either. It was something wrong, but we had to change something, and I just don't remember what. Let me get Missy on. Missy and Frank,
hey,
how are you doing? Hi, baby.
Hi, Mel.
Hey, Scott.
Let me get Adrian on. Adrian, spinning. Oh, there you go.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Don't forget the video, Don.
What video? Oh,
he forgot.
Yeah. I already forgot. Yeah, but there's two or three videos. I don't know which one is which.
I'll remind you before the end of the show.
Okay, somebody got to remind me. I don't remember nothing. Hey, we did almost 5.5, almost 6 hours. Well, we did do 6 hours last night. So
what?
I can't.
Almost 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, and thank God Julian's husband came in there and started saying, I've been here with my pants off for 4 hours, so get your ass out and take care of business. Adrian said, yes, sir. Like a good servant wife would do. But I don't know. They could be waiting for a part of some sort, or there's something they found in production that they can still build them, but it'd be easier to build them and switch out one part. But, man, that's a lot of trucks. It could be, what, you think it could be a chip again? I don't know. That's a lot of trucks.
I'm going to guess not. The reason I say that is because they just, they laid Ford off for a couple of weeks because they had quality issues. They let a lot of people off of Ford for 2 weeks.
Well, you know, that's a smart thing to do. I wish General Motors would get that through their heads. You've got a problem, can't get it fixed, quit making the damn things until you get it fixed.
Right. Man, I'm telling you what, I'm back into the end of February, and I know I posted what that guy was talking about at the Michigan International Speedway.
Yeah,
but
he showed a picture. There looked like more than several hundred. It looked like closer to 1,000 or more.
Yeah, exactly.
They even have them parked at headquarters.
Jesus. Yeah, Adrian, you're a Ford lady. Do you know what's going on?
No, and for someone to come on and make these videos or whatever, that there's a problem, but they can't tell you what the problem is?
Right.
No, he. Let me explain who this Scotty Kilmer is. No. Somebody sent, okay, Leo works for Ford. He sent these two to me. This guy's got, he's a mechanic, master mechanic and everything. He's got every certificate you can get. And he's got over 6 million people follow him on YouTube. And that's only on YouTube. That's not Rumble. And there's another one he's on, Locals. He's got millions of people that follow him. And he criticizes everything. Like he tells, like I told Scott a few minutes ago before the show started, he said, if you can buy an old Toyota, if you got to have one, don't buy the new ones because they're crap, because he went through them all. He went through them all, ran tests on them, and they, you know, that's what he come out with. But he helps people, shows people, people write into him like he was reading that letter. Somebody sent him this tape of Michigan Speedway. He lives in Connecticut. And he reads the letter and shows, you know, the picture or whatever. And he doesn't know what the hell's going on. And, but he's a good guy. Scotty Kilmer is the one you just heard. He's kind of spastic, but he's a good guy. And he's equal opportunity. It doesn't matter. But he likes
sports. I think what I'm getting at,
okay.
What I'm trying to get to, and mm-hmm. I've been trying to get to this for a while. When these companies are having these recalls and problems with the production of their whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want all of this blamed on the members.
You're here.
This sounds like possibly an engineering problem.
Might be.
And it doesn't have to be, but it almost sounds like that to me. And what I'm trying to get, like I said, I don't want the members blamed, because as they talk, and this is why I said you really need to say what the problem is, as they talk like they do and put these videos out against any other companies, it doesn't hit the companies. It always comes back to the members. Oh,
well,
they're this, they're that, they're not doing their job, they overpaid, blah,
well,
blah,
I'm,
blah, and it's not their fault most of the time.
I get you, but you didn't get that from him. He blamed Ford management completely for all this crap. And like he's never, I've heard him get into General Motors. He's never blamed a worker. But what he does do is blame all big three for buying foreign, getting foreign parts, and something goes wrong, they have to, like we did, Scott, we had to build and then back, you know, go out there and backfill and fix every one of them one at a time.
Right.
We kept, but yeah, it, he said, build that stuff in the United States, you don't have that problem. We got good people. Go ahead.
Ford Authority reported this on March 6th of this year. They said, however, Ford Motor Company later clarified that the thousands of F-150 pickups were shipped and parked at MIS back in January and February as part of the automaker's new process of completing quality checks to ensure vehicles are problem-free before sending them to dealers and customers, and has been the case for over a year now. I agree with Adrian. I think if it's falling on quality, it could be a supplier issue.
Or
you know?
Engineer. I like her idea of engineering problem. That sounds...
Well, it can be... It goes hand in hand. If you remember Danjan talking about it, we build this brand new vehicle. And here's... And then you got the lead engineer. And here's all my specifications. You get a bean counter... go shopping and says, look, I can get that part for a nickel cheaper, a bolt that'll save us $2 million over the life of the year, or the life of the model year. But what they don't do is they don't test that new part that the bean counter found that's 5 cents cheaper. They don't check that bolt or that nut out to see what the specifications are on it. So, let's say you get, 5,000 miles on your vehicle, and all of a sudden that nut or bolt breaks free. And that comes back, like Adrian said, that comes back to us because we built them. We build them with what they give us. And if you bought bad parts, that's not on the people on the line who built it.
Right, because you don't have a way of knowing that part is bad. But also, some of the other parts that go into, I worked with motors. So I can tell you that sometimes, like the crankshafts, the camshafts, the conrods, blocks or cylinder heads would come in with porosity. And there are so many of our members that have not been taught about porosity. Now, that's when you have a failure. Your motor goes bad because they say, the crankshaft went bad. Oh, okay. Well, I want you to pull that crank out that motor, and I want that crank cut open.
Right.
And then that's how you can see just if it had porosity, how far the porosity went down into the crank or any other parts. And I know for a fact, because like I said, I dealt with this. I also went to inspectors and asked them what would they do if they saw a part that looked like this. And they would tell me, some of them would say, that's sellable. And I would say, no, it's not.
Right.
You know, because you don't know how far down that goes into that part.
That might be cheaper doing quality that way than sending it to the dealership and having them fix it.
This is true.
Or unfortunately, get to the dealership like you said, and then somebody buy the vehicle and get it out there and get 2,500 miles on it, and all of a sudden there's a problem.
Yeah.
Right. That's usually how that goes, how that happens.
Right.
Stack them and pack them and get it fixed right before the customer gets it. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's our job. At every local, the president and the chairman should be on the same page on this, saying that's our job viability right there we're talking about. Stop running bad vehicles. Stop running parts that are bad or suspect parts that are bad. Well, we'll have to stop the line. Well, then you stop the line.
Right.
Because if it's going to be bad for us, it's going to be bad for you. Gee, look who's in the paper. Ain't me. It said Ford Motor Company. So that guy was thinking about going looking at a brand new F-150 Monday morning after he sees that. He said, well, maybe I'll go look at Dodge or I'll go look at the Chevrolets.
And not knowing that they might be having the same problem.
Absolutely. You know why? Because a lot of them get the same parts in the same place.
That's right. They have the same vendors.
Might have different specifications, or it might be the same. You never know.
Well, I could tell you about, I worked in Conrad. That was the last job I had. And we got a basket that was mixed with rods from, at that time it would be called Chrysler. and they look different. Their rods were made different.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was the telltale sign. And it's like, well, how do you get a basket of parts mixed like that? How did that happen? Well, we know it didn't happen from us. It had to happen from the vendor.
Right.
But the other part of that is that it would get caught in our machines if we didn't catch it.
Oh.
Yeah, so as a matter of fact, it would be at the start of the line, which is called the hopper.
Right.
That part couldn't come down the conveyor because it had a wider face than ours did.
Right. Yeah, different specifications. Different motor,
so
different specifications.
Yeah, that's how you would catch it. You know, you were supposed to do a visual check of the basket, you know, before you put it in the hopper. And, you know, it's like, what was it, 500, 1,000 rods in a basket? I mean, come on, you can't really go through that. And every now and then you might catch something. That was just a lucky thing that you caught it. But like I said, when it got ready to come down that conveyor, that's when it would get caught. Now, I don't know. We never got one from General Motors.
Right.
But, yeah, every now and then we get that Chrysler. And, oh, boy.
Wow. And you're dealing with the heart of the motor vehicle, the engine.
You're right.
Yeah, well, I want to definitely put the wrong push rods in a motor. That wouldn't be good.
Yeah, well, there are other checks for that, too, but like I say, it wouldn't make it through the system.
Right, right. Well, it's good that the hopper stopped it, right? So
yeah, the hopper stopped it. The hopper didn't. It just couldn't go through the system. Let me put it
that
way.
That's good.
Because that face, the way that face was on there, after the hopper was the grinder, and it was not going to go in that grinder.
Right. No.
Well, somebody
that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well,
you've been scratching your head trying to figure out what the hell wrong with this grinder.
Right. But with that being said, has nothing, absolutely nothing within your control of those parts that come in to the building. You had no control of that.
No. And, you know, they were supposed to be checked at the vendor.
Right.
So, but the porosity is different. And I don't know if the vendors check for porosity.
Right.
But I know the techs, as it goes through the system and you're doing quality checks, you could miss it because, you know, it's not every one.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, but those
So if you were doing statistical process control or SPC, you check in five parts once an hour, and you check the first five, and they're all within spec. Fill out your paperwork, you're good to go. And it might be the next 20 or bad rods, right?
Could be. Usually, you know, out of a basket, you might not get but two or three. And that's not, that's in any of the machining areas.
Right.
But like I say, you got to have that know how to identify porosity. And porosity can look like a little bitty speck of a little bitty black speck on a part. Anytime I saw any specks like that, I pulled that part off because I couldn't be sure that it was just a speck or that it wasn't porosity. So I'd rather pull that part off and inspect that part. I also worked with a metallurgist engineer, and sometimes I would call him and he would go and cut the part open. And that's how we would look and see, you know, because if we found any parts that came out of a lot that had porosity, that vendor is contacted, and that vendor
right.
will do something.
Besides send more parts, good parts at that.
Right. You got to certify them. Got to send in certified parts.
Wow.
Yeah, I found that job, those jobs to be quite interesting. That's what kept me working, because I was fascinated. I was fascinated by automation and how we cut the parts, what the machines, which each machine did. I was fascinated with that. And I said, when I lose my fascination, I don't care how many years I have here, it's time for me to go.
Right.
And so my 21 years came up, and I found that I was, all of a sudden, I wasn't as fascinated as I was, and I was like, yay, it all ended together.
There you go.
Right. Wish you well. But I'm heading out.
That's an interesting process to watch. But to me, so is assembly.
Yep.
You know, that's hard work, too. My hat, wig, and everything else go off to all of those that work in assembly. And especially
yep.
if you could work old age, which is what I call retirement, and not get hurt.
Yep.
You know, so many get hurt.
Yep.
Boy.
More people get some type of a injury than those who do not. Whether it's
true.
You know, repetitive motion injury or whatever, you know, that's why they want to try to rotate people from job to job. Okay, well, what's the true reason? Well, they say, oh, so people don't get hurt because you're not on that one job. No, you're right, you're not. But you kind of abrogate my seniority right of having a good job, and I got to rotate with all these other people, so they get be on my good job. Or in the long, it's just postponing. Eventually, you're all going to do this job enough to where you're all going to get hurt. Or is it so that I can have, like, AROs or absentee replacement people who are more knowledgeable on the job so I can put them wherever I got to put them on the days I'm short without paying them absent replacement pay? Now, there's all sorts of ways of looking at it. And when it comes to the assembly line, I kind of agree with Dick Dangin. You know, I hire the best quarterback in the whole world to be the quarterback for my football team, and next Sunday I use him as a running back. you want these people to become so proficient at their jobs that they make it look easy. They've figured their job out. you have a trained professional on that specific job. Why would I want to keep moving him around when I have a trained professional that knows the best way to do that job and, like you, can look at a push rod and say, hey, that's the wrong size. That ain't going to work. We got a problem. Or you see a quality issue. Hey, that part don't look right. You know, better pull that off, you know. That's how Danjan looked at it. And it made sense, you know. So I'm not a fan of job rotation. Never have been. It does create more chaos. I understand during the process it's very chaotic, and then eventually you get through it. But with today's automotive industry, we're moving too many people around too many places to have anybody get really good at what they're doing. So that's my take on that.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, it's hard for me to speak about assembly because
right.
I never really worked in an assembly plant. In our department, we rotated jobs once a week.
I don't believe
once a week.
Yeah, you be on this job for a week. Next week, you move to the next set.
Right.
And therefore, it gave everyone a time that you were working the easier job, you know, to the hardest jobs.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Everybody got their, you know, everybody had their chance.
Yeah. No, I'm not giving. I fought that. Our team voted. They didn't want to rotate. I said, we're not rotating. We fought it. We never did rotate. Other teams did, but we never did.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think in assembly plant. I don't know any other place but the assembly plant. And well, I went to Delphi and Saginaw for a while we were over changeover for the van, and they rotated, and I said, I'm not rotating. They put me on what they said was the hardest job, which was a blessing to me. I had a radio, and it was the easiest job I ever had, working for General Motors, making more money than I ever did, too. So, because it was all kinds of overtime, and I never was tired. So I wouldn't rotate. I'd like my seniority. And when I told those youngins, when you get seniority, you won't want to rotate either. But if you start rotating now, you'll never stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, assembly plant's a little different.
Yeah, they are. The powertrain is a little easier to work in. Even at the transmission plant, the machining departments, now they did not rotate their jobs when I was there. I don't know what they do now.
Yeah.
But they didn't rotate.
Do they still push a rotation in the plant, Scott?
Yes, they do.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Are they all doing it, or is it just hit and miss?
Hit and miss.
Okay.
To be honest.
So they're really enforcing it.
Yeah. Oh, they try. Believe me, they try.
Misty and Fort Wayne, are they rotating?
Nope. And in my opinion, that's when jobs get fucked up, when they push rotations. That's when things get missed, because you're not on your own, you know, your own main job.
Yeah, that's a good complaint, too, I heard a lot of. Because people couldn't keep up on you, you know. You're on. Go ahead.
I'm too old to learn another job. Sorry.
I hear you. Damn old.
No, there ain't nothing wrong with that, Missy.
One's enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they just wanted that, though. They started abusing some of the teams that were rotating because when we had absenteeism, and they would put, like, the team leader on the hardest job and bring some other people to do the easiest job to cover the job, and that screwed up. Not the team leader, but some other guy on the team would have to do the hard job, and that was another complaint.
Yeah.
Well, there's two of them. Why can't he do the hard job? Well, you want to rotate. This is how it goes, buddy. You play by the rules. You die by their rules. Hell with their rules.
Well, they, a couple days ago, GM said they're going to stop sharing driver data with brokers amongst the backlash that they're getting from people. Imagine that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they shouldn't have been doing that in the first place.
Right. Well, the number one complaint was that when they share the data to data brokers, they in turn share the information with insurance companies, resulting in some drivers finding it a little harder or more expensive to get insurance for their vehicle.
Right.
Nice, huh?
Yeah.
So, Lansing Delta's getting ready to add a shift.
That's good.
That's a good thing. And then yesterday I posted a story from electric.com, covers electric vehicles and hybrids and whatnot. And their article said that GM believes that the production hell is behind it with the plan to build 20 times more Ultimate EVs in 2024.
Jeez. Well, shouldn't they wait till they sell them? Start selling these things? People buying them?
Yeah. But then 2 days ago, Business Insider reported that GM's plan to bring back the hybrids is a win for dealers and shoppers.
Yes. Which that's, they should have been doing all along is the hybrid.
Yeah. So I have no idea. I read an article yesterday. I read it. I didn't post it. Mary Barra thought that she would dominate Tesla by 2025. And I'm going, after doing the math and all the figures and stuff, no, you wouldn't. So
that's laughable.
It is. Now, are there applications for these vehicles? Absolutely they are. But I don't think for the average consumer that it is. You know, depending on your travels and your driving skills or your skill set and how you drive, you know, and then you have to add in weather into it also. So, and come back to the famous point that Adrian made, and we'll say it again. We don't have a grid that can support all this.
No.
So, we'll see what happens. Everybody's pushing for it, you know, and they want to get there. And I just don't know how that's going to really work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's something. So and then Reuters 5 days ago I posted an article from Reuters that said the White House is going to soften the EV mileage rule in a win for the automakers. And it's like, okay. And then just a couple of days ago, I see on TV that they're cracking back down on the CAFE standard. And it's like, so if you have an internal combustion engine, whoever you are in the United States, your mileage is going to have to go up. Let's get realistic here at some point. You know, that's why we started leaking like the Volt and the Bolt and the small little cars back in, because they got such a greater gas mileage. We could average out the standard that, see, we're meeting the goal here. Well, a lot of people don't want to drive in a 2-seat egg with wheels on it. You know, like Don, want to be in a nice big old Suburban. You know, or you want to be in a little sport subcompact like that Mustang that Adrian drives around in. You know, or me, just as driving a regular 1500 truck. We're not going to get 50 miles to a gallon. Just not going to do it.
I get about 36 in my Hedgehog.
Do you?
Yep.
No, that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
That's real.
I'll keep that car till the wheels fall off.
You know, yeah.
I guess.
Leo, I'm not going to play this tape. We already played two. I know you work it for, at least you say you work it for it. But I'm going to, the title of this one is Ford Can't Sell Their Vehicles, So They're Throwing Them Away. I don't know what the hell that's about. They're not throwing anything away, Leo. Go try to find one for free. You shall see.
And the truth shall set you free, right?
Oh, Leo, we ought to tell us where he works before I start playing tapes about Ford trucks. He said he works at Ford. I mean, he's not saying where.
Right.
Leo, get it right.
Yeah. Well, maybe he doesn't want to tell you where he works because you got a guy by the name of Leo.
Yeah. Maybe.
Right.
I don't know. People. I know people.
Hopefully
like him.
Hopefully Leo's not part of the problem.
There you go. You hear that, Leo? Call in, Leo. No, you don't have time. Never mind. Don't call in.
No.
When we get done bitching at you, it'll be after 8.
Right.
I'm sure if you look hard enough, you'll find some General Motors screw-ups on tape somewhere.
Right.
And I'll
right.
play those. I'll try to put out vehicles.
We
all
try
of
to
us.
Be equal.
Yeah, that's right.
Equal operators here.
That's right. We're all in the same boat. That's for damn
yeah.
sure. Work your ass off. Do the best job you can. And still get blamed for it.
That's right.
When something screws up. And then the UAW, now, I don't know about this administration, but every other one would not get in the newspaper and stand up for the workers, ever. I never heard of it, never read it. It was always the people. It's always a person.
Yeah, that's
must have been built on
hard too, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd like to, for once, see somebody come out in a newspaper and say, "Hey, it's not the people's fault; it's the company's fault."
Right.
We get our springs from
exactly.
Mexico, and God knows what else we get from all over the world.
Springs from Mexico. Yeah. Torsion bars are from Canada, which isn't so bad. Sway bars from South Korea.
Jesus.
You get... Well, we used to. I don't know about the new ones, but on the diesel, the airbox and the filters that came in come from Bosch, which was made in Germany.
Germany?
Which, that's not so bad either. Anybody pays attention, Germany's usually got a pretty high quality standard, usually. usually. So,
well, we can call our vehicles the International General Motors truck.
Right. I think there's a law. Yeah. Isn't there a law if you're I think it would just be the D3, because I think it would have to hit Honda and Toyota and Mercedes and Hyundai, whoever else is building here. But if you're going to say that this vehicle is American made, it has to have a percentage, and I think they lowered the percentage. I think it's 65% American components now to be assembled so that you can say it's American made.
No.
Used to be 70. Used to be 80. No. And then back in the day, it was like 95%.
Okay. Quit flooding my my mail with all these tapes, folks. I'm not playing them. Okay? Stony Ridge Farmer. Stony Ridge Farmer. I will not play what you just said. You guys hear my phone go off like that? Somebody's got my number and they're flooding my phone with all these tapes too. I turn off my mail, so I couldn't never figure out how to do that. Because every time we were doing a show, somebody sent me something, Bianchi usually, and it would make a noise. Well, I found the off button on that sucker. Now it's flooding my phone. I don't know how to stop that noise. It'll take me another 2 or 3 years. I'll figure it out.
You'll get it.
Oh, that's under notifications, I think.
Notifications? Where in the hell you find that at?
Under settings.
Where do you find that at?
Oh,
where do
Jesus.
I find any of that stuff? See, I know Cinnamon could probably do it, but she already thinks I'm stupid enough. I don't want to prove
her
right.
That's all right. Let her think you're stupid. Get her to help you. That's all right. They don't make you stupid.
That's easy for you to say. I have to live with it.
They got all this shit on these phones.
I answer the phone. That's what I do. And I look at them. I don't even look at messages or text messages. I just don't even think about it. I figure if you got time enough to send me a text, you can call me.
Oh, okay.
Right.
It's faster for me to answer the phone and talk than it is for me to try to figure out how to spell something. And then you spell something, then they spell it different.
Right.
There
is something real quick I'm gonna touch on before we get to the end of the show. Did you hear about Stellantis firing hundreds of their engineers?
They did what?
They fired hundreds of their engineers.
Oh, no.
It was a mass firing.
What happened?
So, basically, they said that. That they're trying to streamline the business and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's the same old, same old. But when you look back at it, their jobs are being outsourced and they're being offshored. So,
oh.
I think it's all a part of that move that they want to make. They want to move that headquarters out of the United States.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be a shame?
It would.
It's a shame it's not Chrysler still.
As far as I'm concerned, all of these companies raped Chrysler. And this is the final.
Yeah.
Right.
They're taking the rest and moving it out.
Well, I tell you, you get rid of hundreds of engineers, you're doing some kind of move.
Yeah, but it's the way they did it. They brought them into a room and just let them have it.
Really?
Just so unprofessional. You know, it's just like what they did at the tech center, or no, Milford, at the Proving Grounds years ago, remember?
Yeah.
People come in to work, look over there, and all these taxis are lined up. You didn't get inside the building. You ring your badge. You, come here. Here's all your stuff. Here's a taxi for you. Leave the car, the keys here. There you go. Grab that taxi. They'll take you home, wherever you want to go.
Well, how about what they did at the truck plant, Scott? You were working there when they would go up to a supervisor and tap them on the shoulder, security, and walk them to the front. And in the middle of a shift, I mean, my quality supervisor, that happened to her. They tapped her, and she was coming to talk to me and about something, and they just kind of told her, no, come with us, two security officers.
Yep, and walk you through the whole plant in front of everybody. Like you did something wrong.
Yeah. And they were
getting rid of you.
I forget how many they got rid of, but they said it was going to happen. Well, at least my supervisor, the superintendent, told me it was going to happen.
I remember that. They got like 35 of that the first round.
Yeah.
They ended up clearing over 100 people out over the span of, 3 months?
Yeah, it was quite a few. I mean, mine went out the first day they started. There was about 10, I think, they got on first shift. But during the shift, that's a cruel way to do anything. That's not a good way. But I had no complaints with her. She didn't do anything to me.
Right.
She gave me support, and that's all I needed was support when I needed it. I don't know. We got 7 minutes to go. What else we got, Scott? Adrian? Missy?
Ladies?
Well, you know, I haven't been keeping up with what's happening, so... This is the only way I find out.
I haven't been on Facebook, so I did last night, and I had to post a few things for a couple people, but other than that, I'm tired of listening to the bitching.
We will not have a show next Sunday.
Yeah.
Correct. Easter.
Easter
yes,
Sunday.
Ma'am.
Yeah, next Sunday. Yeah, it is next Sunday. Wow. It's going eight, by the way, I think, opening day in Chicago. I think they open up in Chicago. I'm not sure. The 28th, next Thursday, I think. And you know, if it's baseball season, it's spring, and I don't care how much snow we have on the ground.
That's correct.
Yeah. Tiger baseball is on.
I remember Tigers playing April 1st at home, spitting snow.
Oh, yeah. I remember Mickey hitting a home run, him running through the snow cloud. It was a perfect pitcher, too. Just a perfect pitcher.
Nice.
And, good old Mickey.
He showed up down at Lakeland.
Yeah. I mean, after all these years of him playing baseball, I imagine he kind of missed it. Tigers did lose today, 10-5. Verlander's on the he's about 2 weeks behind, so he won't be opening with the team in Houston. But he will be there in a couple of weeks.
What's wrong with Verlander?
He had something wrong with his shoulder when he came into training camp. He was 2 weeks behind.
Uh-oh. All right.
But we keep following our boy, Verlander. We keep following him. He's 40 years old now, isn't he? He's 40 years old.
Is he that old?
Yeah. I'm 2 years older than he is. And, yeah, he's sporty.
I know that's right, Don.
I'm on MLB Network right now, and I'm trying to I'll find out when opening day is. Hey, you're home. Nice sentiment.
Let me see. He is 41 years old. He was born in 1983.
Oh, 41.
Wow.
He can throw 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I seen, speaking of 100 mile an hour, I was just looking at, somebody just shared something with me about Nolan Ryan when he first started out.
No, he was wild.
Technology, for the technologies they had were for the speed guns and the radar and stuff, and they've redid it, and they've recalibrated it. They said that young Nolan Ryan was throwing well over 100 miles an hour back in the day.
Well, I remember when he pitched for the Mets when he first came up, he was wild as hell. They got rid of him after a few years. By the way, Scooble is going to pitch on the 28th, next Thursday, 4-10. 4-10 in Chicago. Chicago.
And that game will count, right?
Yeah, opening day. Yeah, that's opening day. And then the next day they're off, Friday they're off because they got to defrost. So once they defrost, they'll play again on Saturday.
Right.
Oh, the hell of it.
He's the new stud in baseball, isn't he?
Who's that?
The guy you're just talking about, the pitcher for Detroit, right?
No, not that I know of.
Oh. They said he was throwing 100-mile-an-hour balls.
Oh, there's a rookie. The guy is 19 years old, a relief pitcher. He threw 102 and 100, 102 and 101. And in his first game he ever played as a professional. Well, and it was in spring training 2 weeks ago. I can't think of it. 102 miles an hour. 19 years old. So I figure he'll be out of baseball by the time he's 25 because he won't be able to
be all ball up. Burn up. Yep.
Yeah.
Mark Fidrich, right? Burn him up.
Yeah.
Burn him up.
Mark hurt his ankle catching fly balls out in the outfield. Rusty Staub told him not to do it. Next thing you know, he was having an operation, and he came back too early. The Tigers brought him back too early, and he changed the way he pitched, and he hurt his shoulder really bad.
Right.
And that's what happens when a ball club is greedy. And that's what Mark Fridrich put in 51,000 people at Tiger Stadium.
Sure.
Every game he pitched. So Tiger said, yeah, we're bringing you back, buddy.
And then they overpitched him, too. They wouldn't let him. He wouldn't get 3 or 4 days off. He might get 2.
No. They didn't do 2, but they did 4. He pitched every 4th. But then they did a good thing and made sure he got his pinch. He had to have 5 years service, so many games, 5 years. And Tigers made sure he got his pension. So that's a good thing. After screwing him over, I guess that's a good one. Then he got his tire caught underneath his truck and choked himself to death.
Yep. Terrible.
Yeah.
Here on the family farm. Yep.
Boy, I'm glad we went to baseball. What the hell is wrong with us? This UAW
I
show.
Know. Right.
Okay.
Anyway.
Adrian,
no
don't forget, you're invited to Lori Ann's show tonight at 9 o'clock. She's got a good show.
That's really nice, but I can't. I can't do all of that.
It's a little different, but
you know. Either I give up the factory whistle and go to her show.
No, you can't give up the UAW show. Forget it.
Yeah, see, and because that's
neither
just too much for me.
Okay, well, then I guess we'll see you next week. next Saturday night. Missy, take care of yourself.
And something that you all said last night about Rona McDaniel.
Yeah, seen a tape of it.
She has signed a contract with MSNBC.
Right.
Pissed off about that.
Okay.
Some people that's real pissed off about that.
Well, she came out and said she's really a Democrat. So that was another thing.
No, that ain't what she was saying.
Well, that's what I got on tape. Came out tonight or today sometime.
She was interviewed on Meet the Press.
Yeah, I seen that.
Okay, no, so that ain't the way she was talking.
No,
and, oh
she,
boy.
Yeah. You know, she can work wherever in the hell she wants to work.
Yeah.
I ain't got no problem with it. But a lot of people
I just
do, I guess,
to,
huh?
To say that that was true.
You want to start some shit, so I go to Lori Ann's show and start shit, and you're not going to be there. I know how you are. Okay, we're out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. Missy, stay safe.
Easter.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Have a happy Easter.
You too, sweetie.
Yep. Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
And a good Friday. Don't forget, good Friday.
Good Friday.
And Easter Monday. Enjoy your holiday.
All right, everybody. Good night. Have a safe week. Good night, everybody. Good night, Scotty.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.